Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Philippians 4, beginning verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rob.
And let me pray as we make a start. Heavenly Father, thank you that the gospel is not just a matter of words, but of power, and that you powerfully put your Holy Spirit in us, to dwell in us, and to change us. And Lord, we pray that as we think about these fruits, that we will be changing over the summer. We ask in your name, Amen. Well, we're continuing the sermon series, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit read to us from Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those fruit. And they're called the fruit of the Spirit because, as we said before, just like fruit grows on a tree, oozes out of the tree because of the goodness, that life-giving sap in a tree, well, so too, these virtues should ooze out of a Christian. They should grow on the lives of Christians, not because of who we are, but because of the Holy Spirit who God has put in us. And today we're thinking about peace. Now, there's a few different ways in which you can use the word peace. One is talking about the state of our relationships. So are we living harmoniously with others? Are we at war with others? Or are we at peace with them? Another way of using the word is talking about the state of our mind. Are we someone who's anxious and fretting? Or do we have tranquility? Do we have inner calm? Do we have peace? And it's that second sense that the fruit of the Spirit is referring to, that inner peace. And that's because as Christians, if we're trusting the Lord, we have cosmic peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cosmic peace, which is unchanging, which can't become more, gives us the inner peace as we realize things are going to be okay. God's on my side. And that's what we can grow in, that inner peace, that inner sense of calm and tranquility. Now, we know that Hong Kong is a place where quite often people don't have that inner calm and tranquility. In fact, quite the opposite. Often people are pretty stressed out and anxious. And we know all of the reasons for this. We know it's because Hong Kong has the longest work hours in the world. We know it's because it's got the highest rent in the world. We know it's because it's a culture and a city which is 24/7 interconnected. We know it's because of the pressures to keep up, the educational pressures, the political uncertainty, all of those things. We know that that causes stress. And then when you add in the everyday stresses that everyone in the world deals with, work deadlines, colleagues, relationships, family, money. When you add those things in, well, things can really turn into a pressure cooker here in Hong Kong. And we've seen the consequences of that, people being unhappy, people's sleep being affected. Sleep is a real indicator of stress. It affects our health. It affects our mental health. A recent article done by the South China Morning Post suggested that something like 1 in 6 in Hong Kong have some kind of mental health problem at some stage in their life. It can also lead to addiction. So often people use addictions as some kind of coping mechanism, as an escape hatch. And so they turn to, well, it could be shopping or alcohol or drugs or sex or online gaming. I spoke to someone a little while ago. He told me he'd spent $300,000 on online fantasy gaming just as a kind of escape. Incredible. All these different ways we try to escape. I say too, it affects our relationship. When we're stressed out, often we don't have time to invest in relationships. We become lonely. Or the relationships that we do have become quite warm. So it leads to relationship breakdown, marriage breakdown, family breakdown. Now, because of the stress that we all experience, we all have our own ways of managing stress and anxiety. We become experts in self-care. We've all got our little techniques. Now, that could be any one of a number of things. It could be that the massage or medication you take, or it could be mindfulness or meditation or listening to music or going to the gym or yoga or holidays, all kinds of different things. And it's perfectly reasonable for us to have some kind of sense of what revitalizes us, what re-energizes us. It might well be that it's really right for you to be taking medication that helps you to de-stress. But for the Christian, that inner calmness and lack of anxiety isn't just getting the balance right in our diary, the balance of activities, and the balance of chemicals right in our mind. Instead, it's about a relationship with this eternal God. We've got peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that issues itself in the inner peace, that calmness. You see, although there is that physiological component to stress and to anxiety, we don't want to underplay that. There is that component. Well, so often the battle is in our mind. It's not so much our problem, the work, the relationships, the finances. It's our attitude to those things. And that's where the Lord can really be at work, through his Holy Spirit, changing us bit by bit, day by day, helping us to trust him more, giving us that inner sense of peace. Things are going to be okay. God knows what he's doing. And today we're back in Philippians again. We were back in Philippians last week because it's a great book on rejoicing. The passage we looked at today is a great passage on peace. And so we're looking at it again. Like I said last week, this is a systematic topical talk. So we're not working through the verses in the same way that we would do if it was just a straight exposition. But what we see here in these verses are three really practical, simple, straightforward ways for us to grow in that inner peace, even as we partner with what God's already doing through his Holy Spirit. So number one is to pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Now remember that Paul is writing this letter amidst all kinds of heartaches and difficulties. He's most likely under house arrest in Rome, and he's quite likely facing a potential death sentence. Many of his churches are being persecuted. That's true for the Philippian church. Some of them had been beaten up, most likely thrown into prison. Some of them were arguing amongst each other. Some of them had been duped by false teachers. Some of them had fallen into sin. Amidst all of that, it would be so easy to be anxious. But see what Paul says. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, I don't know what are the things that stress you out and get you down. I remember as a child, I sometimes stressed out by things that, you know, maybe I didn't really need to be stressed out by. And I remember once being stressed out by a documentary that I watched on television. And this is like one of those scary, sinister documentaries. Have you ever seen documentaries like that with the kind of scary music in the background? It was all about ice ages, and that the basic premise was that every now and then, every few thousand years, a few hundred thousand years, the temperature really plummets and life on Earth is decimated. And they were saying, well, we haven't had an ice age for a little while. Chances are there'll be another ice age coming, you know, with the sinister music. And so I went to my mum and I said, Mum, the end of the world is coming. I've seen it on TV. And my mum, a wonderful Christian woman that she was, she taught me these verses. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I memorized the verse, and ever since, it's been a favorite. What's the key to that peace? Well, it's prayer, firstly, praying. Praying to God. And as we pray, it's really important that we should remember who we're praying to. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus? They said, teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father. When we're praying to God, we're not praying to an impersonal force in the sky. We're not praying to an angry man. We're praying to our loving Heavenly Father who cares about us. Now, some of us will have had better relationships or worse relationships with our earthly fathers, but we've all seen dads being good dads at certain times. And God is our perfect, loving, caring Heavenly Father. And as we come to Him with our problems and we say, Father, Heavenly Father, Dad, I'm struggling with this. This is getting me down, but I know that You're on my side. Well, prayer is an act of dependence in faith. It's not so much about us trying to change God's mind. Instead, it's about us realigning our hearts with what He's doing and our hearts being changed. You see, a loving parent's never going to give their children everything that they ask for. That's not caring. God's not going to give us everything that we ask for. But as we come to Him and we say, Father, I'm struggling with this thing, but I know that You're on my side. I'm not just going to fret about it. I'm not just going to try and hold on to it and sort it out myself. I'm giving it to You because I know that You care for me and You can help. It's when we do that, that supernatural peace seeps in. That's beyond understanding. Other people look in and they go, well, why aren't you more stressed? Why aren't you more anxious given your situation? It's because we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Now, when I first memorized these verses all these years ago, I didn't really latch on to what it was saying about thanksgiving. And I think this is a really important part of prayer when we're seeking for the peace. So do you see what it says? It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. It's only as we come to God with rejoicing and with thanksgiving that we can really see Him for who He is. Well, Oswald Chambers, the 20th century pastor and theologian who died during the First World War in Cairo, he said, we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on our difficulties. But brothers and sisters, can I suggest that you can't pray with your eyes on God unless your prayers are full of and permeated with thanksgiving. We've got to be giving thanks. So take, for instance, these Philippian Christians. The Philippian Christians were facing persecution. Like Paul, some of them probably flogged and thrown into prison. So it would be absolutely right for them to petition the Lord and say, Lord, won't You change some of these things? Won't You stop this persecution? Won't You allow our brothers and sisters to be released? Won't You allow our brother Paul in Rome to be released? Won't You allow us to continue meeting as Christians and for there to be an open door for Your work here in Philippi? Absolutely right for them to pray like that. But even as they prayed with those petitions, they should also be praying with thanksgiving. Thank You, Father, that You're sovereign over all of these things, even in suffering. Thank You that You tell us that the Lord is near, that Jesus is coming back to make this world right. Thank You that You tell us that in every situation, in every trial, You give us what we need in order to trust You. Thank You that You promise us that even in suffering, You're always working for the good of those who love You and have been called according to Your purpose. It's as they pray with thanksgiving that they're able to keep their eyes fixed on God. Well, I don't know, as I said, what caused you you to be anxious. But as you pray about those things, as you petition your Heavenly Father who loves you, will you pray with thanksgiving? Pray with thanksgiving, and then secondly, protect your thoughts. Now, it might look like Paul is changing subject here, but actually he's developing the theme. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul here knows that once they're anxious, once they're worried, it's so easy for that cycle of negativity to just perpetuate itself and to continue and to continue. So take, for instance, what they were going through again. Remember that the Philippian Christians had some disunity. They had some arguments. And there were these two women in particular. We read about it last week. Euodia and Syntyche, two gospel-hearted, mature Christian women who just had some kind of personality clash or disagreement or something. It would be so easy for that to turn into these negative thoughts. Those negative thoughts which are like, well, she never listens to what I say. She always wants her own way. She doesn't understand. And then for that to turn into gossip. Did you hear what she said? Did you see what she did? Who does she think she is? Paul wanted to cut down that negative thinking. Years ago, I studied as an engineer, and I worked as an engineer, structural engineer. And one of the things that I needed to do was to do calculations. And we had computers to help us with some of those calculations. And we had these programs which could do quite nifty things. You could create a three-dimensional model of a giant steel building that could work out all of the stresses and the strains in every single steel component, depending on wind loadings, and really, really exciting, riveting stuff. And our job to help to run those calculations. But one of the things that you get taught really early on, a little mantra as an engineer, is garbage in, garbage out. You can have the most advanced computer in the world with the most advanced software in the world doing the most intricate calculations, but if the information, if the data that you put in is corrupted, if that is garbage, then everything that's coming out of that computer is garbage as well. And that's so true of our minds. God has given you an incredible mind. But if the information that's going in is corrupted, if that's garbage, then what's coming out of your life will be garbage as well. It's all connected. Now, this is nothing new. We've known about this for ages. Others who are not Christians recognize this as well. Horace, the Greek poet, said, "Rule your mind or it will rule you." Or take in the medical profession. Over recent decades, the medical profession has increasingly seen the importance of treating our minds as part of wholeness and well-being. And so we see talking therapies, cognitive behavioral therapies, mindfulness, meditation. All of these things are tools to try and isolate and to identify those negative thoughts and to try and replace them with more wholesome and good thoughts. Now, there's nothing wrong with Christians using these kind of tools, so long as the information that we're putting into our minds is right. Well, we get a barrage of information these days. We're bombarded with information. But see what Paul says to us. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, one of the ways that the world tries to make us feel less anxious and more self-confident is to puff up people's egos and to say, you're an amazing person. You're an incredible being. You can do whatever you want. Believe it. You can achieve it. The world is at your feet. The world is your oyster. Go forth and conquer. But those things might make us feel better in the short term. But so often they're not true. The Bible says that we are sinful people in an evil world, that we're broken, and that we deserve to come under the wrath of God. But because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went and died on the cross to pay the penalty for sin, that we might get forgiveness, that we might have peace with God, that we might be God's children. Well, those truths are not performance dependent. And as we meditate on them, we can have peace. God's on my side. Things are going to be okay. We need to protect our minds from things that are untrue. We also need to protect our mind from things that are impure or unwholesome. Or are you doing that? Or are you keeping on zooming in on your problems, rehashing those again and again? Are you keeping on going back to old hurts and wounds, raking those up, nurturing resentment and anger? Are you allowing your mind to be filled with all of the unwholesome things that come out of the media, gratuitous violence and sex and profanity? We need to be protecting our minds so we're not sucked into that cycle of negativity, because our minds are a key battleground as a Christian. Now, there's so many things that we can fill our minds with that are good. God's given us a wonderful creation, good things to dwell on. But certainly one of the ways in which we dwell on good things is in God's Word. It's as day by day we open the Bible and we read God's truth there and we meditate on God's truth and memorize God's truth and share that truth with others, that we focus our minds on God and we protect our thoughts from all of the negative things in this world. But that helps to give us peace. Are you protecting your thoughts? And thirdly, are we practicing contentment? Now again, it looks like Paul is changing topics slightly, but actually again, he's developing the theme. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, Paul was in Rome, and while he was there, it seems like the Philippians had sent him a financial gift. And the letter to the Philippians is in part a thank you letter to say, thank you for your generosity and all that you've given me. But as well as thanking them, Paul wanted the Philippians to realize that he wasn't in Rome fretting because he didn't have enough money. Instead, he says, no, actually, I've learnt contentment in every and all situations. The secret of contentment is verse 13. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Can we have verse 13 up on the screen, please? There we go. I can do all things. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. You see, now Paul wasn't saying he could do whatever he wanted in prison. He wasn't saying that suddenly he would start a company and become a millionaire. He was saying, no, actually, I can cope with having less money and having the bare necessities or even less, because I know that God is my strength, that Jesus is my strength. He's defeated my enemies. He brings me into God's presence. He's given me his Holy Spirit. Even if I've got less than in some ways I feel like I could do with, I know that I can manage because I have the Lord on my side. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, it goes without saying that one of the things that causes us stress in this world is money. We know that. And of course, we need money. We need money to do things. We need money to look after other people as well. But so often, it's easy to get sucked into that rat race and to justify that to ourselves. To say, well, I need to provide for my family. I need to give them a certain kind of level of living. I need to give them a certain standard of education, a certain kind of apartment in a certain kind of town, certain kinds of holidays, and to justify being in the rat race when so often it's so easily motivated by envy and by discontent and by keeping up with the Joneses. But Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Even whilst he's in prison with hardly anything at all, he's practicing contentment rather than striving after always getting more. Well, one person who practiced contentment was John Wesley. John Wesley was born into a home which was rather impoverished. His father was a minister. And when he became a minister, he thought that he would be impoverished as well. But actually, he got quite a good job lecturing at a university. and he made about £30 a year, which was a decent salary as a young man. He realised he only needed to live on about £28, so he gave two away. But his salary kept on going up and up. Then it was £60 and £90 and £120, but he resolved to only live on £28 a year. He ate vegetables. He didn't eat meat in order that he could give his money away. His motto was, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. His money kept on going up. Eventually, he was earning over £1,400 a year, and he kept his expenses to about 30, giving away the vast majority of his income. Now, this isn't a talk about giving. John Wesley had very particular circumstances. He didn't have a family. He could keep his income and he could keep his expenses quite exact. But the point here is that he wasn't always striving on having more and getting more. Instead, he could be content on living on £28 or £30 a year, not always striving for more things. Instead, he knew that he could survive on less through the one who gave him strength in all things. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've ever considered that actually having a job where you have less income could actually be better than having a job with more income. But so often, we're tempted to strive after always having more, but striving after always having more, after always having more can give us, can cause us to be ungodly and give us less time to serve others. Actually, it could be better to take a job which pays less, and instead of relying on your own strength to be earning more, rely on God's strength to be content with having less. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Or maybe the opposite is true. Maybe you're in a situation where actually, objectively, you could really do with a little bit more money because you're paying the bills, you're looking after other people, there are medical expenses, there's rent expenses. You could do with more money. Well, I hope that as a family, just like the Philippians looked after Paul, we're looking after each other. But even if that money doesn't come in, will you trust God as your Heavenly Father? That even if you've got less than what you hoped for, you can do all of this through him who gives you strength. Maybe it isn't money that is likely to cause you to be discontent, to lack that internal peace. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's something else about your life that you'd like to change if you had the opportunity that isn't quite what you'd hoped. Maybe it's your career, it's not quite what you hoped. Or your marriage is not quite what you hoped. Your love life is not quite what you hoped. The way that you look is not quite what you hoped. And if you had the opportunity, then if you're honest, you'd probably change that thing. Well, being a Christian doesn't mean that God is going to give us what we want. God won't necessarily change those things. But what he will help us to do is even amidst those things that cause us striving, cause us anxiety, cause us stress, to help us through the Holy Spirit to practice contentment, that we know that God is our Heavenly Father. He's on our side. Things are going to be okay. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. Well, you've probably worked out by now, but many of these fruit of the Spirit come back to the same thing. They're all anchored in the same thing, which is God and his character and his goodness and the new relationship that we have him through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're now his children. It's as we keep on coming back to that. God is my Father. He's on my side. He knows what he's doing. He's given me his Holy Spirit. It's then that we can have that peace that surpasses understanding. That other people look in and they go, why is that person so peaceful? Why are they not so stressed? Why are they not so anxious? It's because we've got a Heavenly Father who loves us. Let's pray. Lord God, you know that we live in a world where there's so many stresses. There's so many things that can make us anxious, fretting. So often we're striving after things, and that makes us even more anxious. Lord, we pray that we would see more and more that all of the blessings that you give us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to pray with thanksgiving. Help us to protect our thoughts. Help us to practice contentment and to trust that you care for us. Give us that inner peace that surpasses all understanding. We ask in your name. Amen. We're going to have a short moment to reflect now, and then the band will lead us in our next song.